Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dobiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dobiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics today. First, we're going to talk about the market action. Then we're going to talk about some new strategies the IRS has to help you resolve your IRS debt. In the Plan Your Prosperity section, I'm a little early, but some of you will be listening to this at the very end of April, and so I wanted to offer some ideas for graduates. And then in the Ask Peggy segment, I'm going to address the question, what do you do when you're worried about the markets? And you want to stay tuned to this, because I'm probably not going to say what you're expecting. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending April 17th, 2026. So it's just barely into the new quarter. And there were a lot of hopeful signs last week on the war with Iran, and the market responded appropriately. The Dow was up almost 2.5%. The S&P 500 was up about 3.3%. And the NASDAQ was up a little bit more than 4.5%. Gold was down about 1.5%. And oil was down for the week 10.84% approximately. Remember that because oil is priced on a continually moving contract, we're never exactly sure, unless I write down the minute of when I get a price, what things are. But it closed at 87.32. The dollar was down 0.2%. The 10-year treasury was down 3.8%. Current rate there is 4.255%. which let the aggregate bond fund go up about 0.33%. Bitcoin was up 2.6%, and the volatility index was down a little less than 1.5%. So a couple of things to look at, and I am taping this show Monday morning. That would be April 20th. I am taping at 10:22 in the morning. And I'll tell you what, over the weekend, the markets have been all over the place. So right now, we have a contingent of representatives going to talks with the Iranians. They're not going to Iran. They're going to a third nation. And so maybe the talks are back on. That helped bring the markets back a little bit from over the weekend, when there was just all kinds of activity on both sides, both from Iran and the United States, and the volatility here is crazy. So this morning, the markets are down a little and oil is up a little. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens later today. And quite frankly, until this situation resolves, and I don't know when that is, I would not be about to guess how long this will take. Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's next month. We just don't know right now. But as long as things are moving as fast as they are in the geopolitical world, you can expect the market to be moving as fast, which is actually what's led to my question for the Ask Peggy segment, because I'm having a lot of people asking me what they need to do. The 10-year treasury is down because the possibility of inflation was down, because the price of oil was down. So, you know, when you begin to see how these things work together, at least some of the individual actions make a little bit more sense, and that would obviously cause volatility to go down. I do need to point out that Bitcoin went up just about as much as the Dow did and a little bit less than the S&P. So I just want you, if you're investing in cryptocurrency, I want you to be paying attention. I want you to be thinking about why you're investing in cryptocurrency. Is this doing what you're wanting it to do? I am not going to tell you what you should be doing. That is your decision, potentially a conversation that you have with your financial advisor, because everybody has different goals and different needs and different capacities. Never good to take advice directly for yourself about what somebody says on the radio, even if that person is me.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I don't know if this is legislation, but I thought it was really cool and it was kind of legislation adjacent. So the IRS has released an online tool to help give taxpayers who still owe tax money and don't know how to pay it some ideas as to what they can do to resolve their tax debt. Now, remember, it's very important to pay the IRS. You cannot discharge IRS debt, through bankruptcy. They can attach it to your salary. There's lots of ways that the IRS can come after you if you have a tax bill. Even if it's not tax fraud, even if it's just that you can't pay the bill, if you ignore it, they're going to find a way to get their money. And yet, a lot of times, especially now that it's not really possible to call the IRS because they've eliminated a lot of positions, but that's a whole other topic for another day, this tax tool gives people the opportunity to log into the IRS, and then apparently it asks you a set of questions. And those questions then are used to guide you to potential solutions that might work for you. So it's not just a frequently asked question section of the IRS website, you know, what do I do if I can't pay my taxes? And it gives you some things. Instead, this is a tool where you enter information about yourself and about your income and about your tax situation, and it tries to help you create a solution. Now, I can imagine some people saying, oh, I don't want to enter my stuff on the website, but here's the newsflash. They already know everything. And even if you've opted not to file your return, remember that when you get tax documents in the mail, there is an associated document that is mailed to the IRS. So the IRS actually already knows how much money you made this year, even if you haven't reported it yet, assuming that you haven't earned like cash on the side or something. But for most of us, we get a W-2 if we're working, a 1099-R if we're getting a retirement pension or we're taking distributions out of an IRA. It reports what we got to Social Security. It reports the dividends and the interest. So you're really not violating your privacy by participating in this, because they've already got all of that. And the IRS should have all of that, because that's their job, right? It's not like weird information sharing from one agency to another. This is the IRS. Their job is to make sure you're paying your taxes. So I think it's a really great idea. It's called the Tax Debt Help Tool. According to Frank Bisignano, the IRS CEO, he said, by understanding taxpayers through their options to pay with simple interactive questions, we're helping them understand the paths available and take confident steps. The deployment of this new tool shows the transformation underway at the IRS and the progress the agency has already made to deliver more user-friendly digital services to taxpayers. Now, this is a quote that I got from a ThinkAdvisor article called, creatively enough, IRS Releases Tool to Help Taxpayers Resolve Debt. The only issue here is if you're not great with online things, online tools, you may need to ask a child, you may need to ask a friend, but it needs to be somebody you're comfortable with them knowing your financial situation, right? So, you know, my only issue with this is it's online, and like my sweet little aunt would not be able to navigate this. She's great, but she's 86, and going onto the IRS website and answering a questionnaire would be really overwhelming. So if you are younger and you have an older family member or friend who you know might be struggling to figure out how to pay their taxes, you know, do a good deed and help them. Ask them if they'd like for you to help them complete this survey, help them work out what strategy is going to resolve the tax debt, because the IRS will resolve the tax debt. And you want to take as many steps as you can to help them in the process, and that will lower your penalties, might lower interest if you get it done sooner, and all in all, just make your life a lot easier.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. If you live on the East Coast, you are going to think that I am crazy doing a graduation section right now. And I will admit I'm pushing the envelope a little bit because it's only April 20th and we have about 3 weeks in Oklahoma before college graduation happens. We have about 5 weeks before high school graduation happens. But to be perfectly honest, I was looking for a fun topic and I needed to buy a graduation card for a friend. And it was like, okay, I will just talk about steps that graduates can take after they graduate. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if I am 2 months too early in this advice and you live on the East Coast and you're not graduating until the end of June, you can just save this segment or go to my podcast, which also has these radio segments uploaded. It's called Ask Peggy About Your Money. And after you graduate, if you don't want to deal with it now, you can go ahead and deal with it then. So I get asked often by young people who are graduating, especially from college, what are the first steps that they should take? And sometimes they already have a job lined up. I know right now the job market is really, really tough, and you may not have a job lined up, and that's okay. You did not cause this mess, but you are dealing with some of the fallout from it. But for the sake of argument, we're going to talk in terms of what do you do if you've graduated and you've got a job to set yourself up for the most success. So the first thing you need to do is look at your student loan debt. Now, if you're going on to graduate school, you can continue to defer this debt until you're actually out and working. But if you're working, you're going to need to figure out how to repay your student loan debt. So look at your loans or your loan and see what the payment schedule is. If you listen to the last segment about the IRS, well, the IRS always gets their money, and so do the people who make student loans. You cannot discharge student loan debt in bankruptcy. They can garnish your wages. They can do all kinds of things when you have student loan debt. And if you let it go into default, you're going to cause monsters for yourself. So don't do it. Consider it a bill like any other bill. And if having that bill and paying that bill means that you can't buy something else fun, well, that's just kind of what it means. Hopefully you'll start getting raises soon and it will be easier. So just be careful not to, you've graduated, don't forget that debt because it's going to start coming due very, very soon. So the second thing I want you to do, assuming that you're working, is to start creating an emergency fund. An emergency fund is money laid back, usually not in the stock market because the stock market goes up and down. So it's in something like a bank account. I would look into high yield bank accounts right now. Interest rates are a little bit better in those high yield accounts. Make sure you've retained FDIC insurance. Remember that FDIC insurance pays if something happens to the bank. So you put your money in a bank, for some reason the bank fails, FDIC makes sure that you get your money back. So most of the high yield savings and checking accounts that I've seen have in fact had FDIC coverage, but once in a while, you can get into a high yield money market situation. So a money market might even be being offered at your bank. It doesn't just have to be offered at an investment institution. And some of those high yield money markets have FDIC insurance and some don't. The one that I use with my clients does, many of them do. You just want to make sure. Why do you have to start with an emergency fund? Because if COVID taught us anything, it taught us that we have no idea what the next emergency might look like. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you'll know that I've said it caught me off guard just like it caught everybody else off guard. Because my conversations around emergency funds had a lot to do with financial stability. How stable was your job? How long had you had it? How likely were you to be able to get something else in an associated field? And then all the restaurants closed, and everybody in food services was struggling, and you couldn't go to another restaurant because that restaurant was closed too. And the thing is, you could say, well, I don't work in a restaurant. Well, that's great. But you know, what if the next emergency is a cyber attack? What if somehow the internet goes down and your job depends upon having access to the internet? A whole lot of us are going to be in trouble if that were to be the next emergency. So having money in savings is better than not having money in savings in those circumstances. Remember that financial professionals will tell you you need 6 months of your bills. I think that's a super unrealistic goal when you're getting started. So I want you to save 2 weeks of your bills, and I want you to do it over and over and over again. But if you just try to save 2 weeks, you won't get overwhelmed. Saving 6 months of bills looks totally impossible, like nothing you're going to be able to do. And I don't want you to quit before you get started. Put it in a bank account. Don't put it in a bank account attached to your other bank accounts if you tend to borrow between your accounts. This is money for an emergency, and you need to treat it like that. And then finally, if you do have a new full-time job and it has a company's retirement plan, I want you to start participating in it as early as they will let you. Sometimes they make you wait a year, sometimes they don't. Remember, if it's a plan that offers a match, then you are going to be getting free money up to the amount of the match. Often these funds default into something like a target date fund. So it's a blend of stocks and bonds that gets more and more conservative as you get older. If you're just getting started and you don't want to deal with anything, these target date funds are not a bad place to start. So the downside to them is different companies view risk and age in different ways. And the biggest issue people have had with these funds, especially as they start getting a little bit older, is they think that the company is taking more or less risk with their money than they want. You can fix this by changing the date of the fund. So if you're just getting started and you're in a 2060 fund and you don't want to take that much risk, you could invest in a 2050 fund. And you can actually make those adjustments all the way through. I do not ever say that this is the right decision for somebody. When I'm on the radio again, remember, I don't know your circumstances. What I'm going to say is it's generally a good decision. Those funds have been screened by the people who put the 401k together. They have a mandatory fiduciary liability. And when you don't have much money, getting the diversification through a blended fund solves some problems that you can get into if you start trying to like buy U.S. large cap or U.S. small cap, because then you're really not very diversified. So start participating in that, put in the amount of the match at the minimum. You know, if you need to save, like split the money you have and put half of it in your emergency fund and half of it in your 401k, that's a decent way to do it too. Really, as long as you're making an effort with both of those things, I'm really happy. Finally, you were likely living somewhat frugally in college, and now you have a salary that may be bigger than any salary you've ever had before. This is a great opportunity to start all of this savings. And if you still live sort of frugally, you may be able to fund it and actually have more money left than you had while you were still in college. The other thing is when you get a raise, now I'm not going to tell you, oh, I want you to save it all, because there's no fun in that, right? What I want you to do is save half, either in your emergency fund or in your 401k, and then you can do what you want to with the other half. You've gotten a raise because you've done a good job. It's no fun if you never give yourself credit for that. And it'll make the whole saving thing get very onerous and you'll get really tired of doing it. So go ahead, spend half, but I want you to save the other half until your emergency fund is saved or into the 401k or split it in half again. I'm good with that. You know, there's other things to be thinking about, and I could talk about lots of other topics like buying versus renting, or what to do with credit cards. But these first steps will help you get started. And because I'm so early in talking to graduation, I'll choose a different component of it for next week.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I have been getting a general question from lots of people who are clients, people who phone into the radio show, people who I just run into at a cocktail party, right? And that question is, Peggy, I'm really, really stressed right now about my money and I don't know what to do. What should I do to make sure that everything's going to be okay? And I'm going to tell you that you are not alone if you have this question. Lots of people right now are incredibly stressed about their money. They don't know what to do, partly because there have been a lot of shifting situations for about the last 18 months. I really think it started with the tariffs. And I don't mean this politically. I don't. I absolutely don't, but I'm going to say that markets like stability, and I know that the market keeps going up, but this whole, we're going to have a lot of tariffs, we don't have a lot of tariffs, now we have a war with Iran, and oil's going to be 120 a barrel, no oil's going to be 80 a barrel. People are left feeling very, very unsettled. Whether they should feel unsettled or not, I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying a lot of people are feeling very unsettled. So obviously, the first piece of advice I'm going to give you is related to financial planning. Look at your portfolio. Know what your risk tolerance level is. Make sure you're invested in a way that matches your risk tolerance. That helps. But now, the rest of what I'm going to tell you is what you're not expecting me to say. And the first piece of advice that I would give you is turn off the news. Okay, you need to stay informed. You do. We all need to stay informed. I have to stay informed. But I am not listening to even business news 24 hours a day right now because the stress level that it's putting on me is fairly remarkable. And if all you're doing is consuming news of any flavor, whether it's very, very conservative or very, very liberal, you're going to be feeling stressed too. So stay informed. If you have a news channel you like to watch, pick out two or three shows, even a couple of shows a day, and watch those shows. And then make sure that one of the shows you're watching on any network that you want is giving you kind of an overview. Because, you know, sometimes in the evening they become talk shows and there's whole topics that don't get discussed. I think it's important to be informed about everything. So make sure you're keeping up with it all. But then turn it off. Turn on your favorite music. Or, heaven forbid, don't have any noise on at all. The next piece of advice is do something you love for a little bit of time every day. Whether that's reading a book or going for a walk. Or playing pickleball. I don't know what you love to do. Petting your pet. You're taking a pet for a walk. Playing with the cat. Do what brings you joy. Things that honestly make you happy. And do that a little bit every single day. None of us are too busy to take 10 minutes to do something that brings us joy. Then, make sure you're eating well, especially when you can get stressed, which can lead to a little bit of depression. It's easy not to eat a balanced diet. You need to make sure, now of course, follow your doctor's recommendations. You know I mean that, but I should probably say it. But you know, look at fruits and vegetables and different kinds of protein, not just fast foods and sodas and snacks and things that are easy. And we kind of self-medicate with food a little bit. Even if we don't have a weight situation, we can all go towards those foods that make us feel better. And there's nothing wrong with that on a certain level. But, you know, just like I'm telling you, do something that brings you joy. But the majority of your diet, you will feel better if you eat a little bit healthier and make sure you're drinking enough water or other non-caffeinated beverages so that you're hydrated. Getting dehydrated messes us up. And then finally, get sleep. And if you get stressed about stuff, shut it off before you try to go to sleep. Because right now, it's very, very hard if you're worried about everything. But you can take some steps just to help your life that will help you feel better. When you feel better, you won't be as stressed and you'll be less likely to make bad decisions.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.